Thank God tonight we are trusting in the one that will not fail us. Thank the Lord. We appreciate the prayers and the Lord visiting and helping us. We need more help. We need more. May God help us all tonight. Draw near to the Lord afresh, that He might bless our souls, that we might be able to carry out His bidding. Let's prayerfully turn into the Book of Life, Word of God, 1 Samuel, 3rd chapter. May the Lord help us tonight, scales to fall off, weights be laid aside, everything that's keeping us from maturing and achieving in God the thing that He has specifically designed for our life, that as a people, when we come together, that God might be pleased to lower His presence and bless our utterance. In the 3rd chapter, we begin reading, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." Now, Lord, help us here. It's been a long time. There's been no real vision. Nothing from God. Nothing from the breath of inspiration that would inspire men and cause them to rally and go forth conquering and to conquer. I believe our time, our age, our day is a need for the breathing of God upon our labors, afresh and anew with vision and inspiration. Glory be to God. The Word is precious. The Word of God is precious, but it takes the breathing of God upon that Word to bring out the life and to cause what we do to not merely be a mix of mechanical doings and dealings. We need the breath of God, and we need a vision, something to inspire. It came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. All the condition had gotten so with the existing priesthood, his eyes are now dim, and God help us. There's one thing we don't need is dim eyes, spiritually speaking. We need to have our eyes wide open and full awake and alert to hear and receive from our Lord. His eyes are dim and he couldn't see as he once was able to see. May the Lord help us. What a contrast between this prophet and Moses. Amen, what a contrast. His eyes were not dim, his natural forces were not. What a contrast here. But here's a prophet whose eyes have grown dim. Oh, may God help us all. Watch now. Ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called, "Samuel." And he answered, "Here am I." Now God help us, a burden tonight. We want to be able to get something from the Lord. Now, I'm aware today that there's much talk going on about what the Lord is telling people to do. The Lord told me. The Lord showed me. The Lord gave me a vision and gave me a dream. And we're not talking about that now. God help us here. We're talking about something from God that has a breath of inspiration on it, that has the very living force of God all in it. Oh, real vision, glory to God. Something that will cause us to be renewed and rejoicing and full of joy. And the shouts and the praises will be in a result of God's visitation and breathing upon our lives. Amen. I believe in one place it says the times of refreshing. Amen. Something that will refresh us and bless us and lift us. Glory be to God. Samuel said, Here am I. Here am I, Lord. And he didn't know it was the Lord. He thought it was Eli. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Well, when a ministry's eyes begin to wax dim, you make a serious mistake looking to them. All right, now, I need your prayer tonight. You make a serious mistake trying to get some help from someone whose eyes are wax dim. Samuel didn't know any better, and glory be to God, he went to Eli. He thought Eli, one who is losing his sight, could tell him something. And in a measure, he did. Oh, this is serious tonight, what's on my heart. And so he went there. Here, Lord, how can I serve? He's ministering there in the temple. And Eli said, what? He hardly knew what was going on. Samuel went back. You called me? No, I didn't call you. Went back. And again, you know how it goes. You read the account. Again, Samuel, clear as crystal, clear as a bell, strong and unmistakable. God called his name. Samuel, again, up and ready. Lord, yes, he goes to Eli. Eli said, I didn't call you. I have nothing to tell you, boy. Oh, God. And back again and again, the Lord says, Samuel. Finally, Eli began to wake up. This must be God talking to this boy. Amen. This must be the Lord. He said, I'll tell you what. And you, if this happens again, you'll just say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Oh, we want to be in a place. We want to be in a place where when God calls our name and clear beyond the shadow of a doubt, calls upon us, that we can say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Servant of God, and glory be to God. Oh, from that time on, Samuel began to get his charge. God told him and made it clear what would be the plight of downfall of the house of Eli. Oh, and that was a frightful thing to have to tell his master, the one that was training him, as it were, and showing him the way of the house, that God said, he's through with you. Amen. I'm through with you. You're no more. Oh, God, he didn't want to tell that. He didn't want to tell it. That's quite a burden. But he was pressed. Eli pressed him. You tell me. You tell me what the Lord told you. Oh, don't make me tell it. Amen. And in his innocence and in his purity, he just told what the Lord gave him. You know, and so it is. When God sends a fresh anointing and a fresh blessing, God will be dealing with things that many times the one that's bearing the message has not the slightest inkling of the scope of what God is doing. Samuel didn't have an inkling of the scope that this would be God clearing out a dead thing and bringing in something fresh and inspired, and glory be to God, that could breathe something new and living for his word, that it would not fall. Eli failed in restraining his sons, and such shame came upon the work of God. Such shame followed all of that. All right, tonight we're going to talk about visions a little bit. Let somebody get for us 29th chapter of Proverbs. Well, we kind of dug around in a dictionary and got a few thoughts on this definition of vision. Here's what we come up with. The ability to perceive something not actually visible, as through mental acuteness or keen foresight, or something that's supernaturally revealed, completely outside of the realms of man's ability to perceive it. Something that God makes known by directly intervening, by directly coming right in and causing it to be known. Vision. Vision. All right, do we get Proverbs? Start, I'll read the second verse, and then I want the 16th and the 18th. Amen. Now get a hold of this. When the righteous are in authority, that's time to shout. The people can shout, oh, the righteous are in authority. Oh, there's a lack today of the right, God help us here, of the right ones being in authority by the plight of the people. Amen. By what we're able to see, by what we're able to experience. But when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked, what did they say? What a contrast there. They mourn, they're bent over, they're heavy loaded, they don't know where they're going, there's no real breath of inspiration in life. The wicked are in authority. I read an article how they're separating Germany here's this iron fence, this curtain, and there are people that are behind this fence, this wall, this barricade, and oh, how they walk. Some of the guards that work on the border there, the article went on to say that they would wave their hand, the Americans would wave their hand at those on the other side, and they wouldn't wave back, and some of the people just seemed to have their heads down. Oh, you see, the wicked are in control there. You can't move freely. You can't come and go. There's something there that's binding and oppressive. There's something that's holding them down, and they would do different, but the wicked are in control, see. Oh, God. Now, let's have another verse, 16 and 18. All right, now look at the connection between the rise of transgression and the reign of the wicked. Look at the rise of things that are wrong, that are opposite of what God would have. And there's a connection, there's a parallel, there's an equal line of the reign of the wicked. Amen. That's natural and spiritual. You get corrupt politicians and corrupt rulers and leaders, and I'll tell you, you'll see folks, they'll get them in the courtroom all right, but somehow they'll get off, see? Somehow it'll just be as nothing. And oh, the people mourn. God help us. What has become of justice and righteousness and fairness? The wicked are in authority. Read on now. 18. Thank God. I love that Elder Warren often says, the truth crushed earth will rise again. It's not going to stay down, but we're going to see this thing take a change, and I'm convinced that God is already setting into motion the downfall of all the Eli. Amen. Whose eyes are dim. Who have lost the breath of inspiration. God help us. All right now, let's go to 18. This is the word of God, folks. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We cannot box God up in a little box, in a neat package, or as it were in the old fable. Somebody had the genie in a bottle, see? And whoever had the bottle was the man that was in power. And when he desired a wish, he let the genie out, as it were in the fairy tale. And, make me a wish, see, so I can get out from under this bottle and get him right back in that bottle and put him in your pocket. Listen, we can't put God in a bottle and carry him around in our pocket and let him out to do our bidding. Glory to God, that thing is backwards. Can't let him out when we need him. We can't let God out when we want some healing. We can't let God out when we want some blessing in our meeting. We can't let God out when we want some souls saved. God's got to run the thing. God's got to run it. And where there's no vision of God blessing his people and allowing the free spirit of God to bless and anoint and unction us for the going forth of his word and his service, the people will perish. Every time it'll perish. The minute men try to control it and put some bridles and reins on it, that's the end of it, folks. It's all over then. All the blessing ceases. There's no vision. You ever notice why? They offer to a young fella, they show him these shiny jet airplanes. How'd you like to fly that? Amen. He looks at it and says, oh, yes. And you get a fellow a little farther down the road and you say, how'd you like to fly that? What, and kill myself? That thing is going faster than the speed of sound and I'm liable to get hurt. God help us. The Lord is able to move a lot faster than you and I think. We've got this idea that we've got to control the throttle and we've got to meter everything and we've got to know just every little thing God wants to do, and you do not. You need to be in a place where the breath of inspiration can breathe on your soul and you can see that this is God. Let's move along, praise the Lord. Oh, God, help us tonight. Now, I want to slow us down a little bit tonight. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Now, we talked about a vision. But I'm afraid that mostly what you and I have had on hand are visionaries. See? Amen. This type of thing is characterized by impractical ideas, schemes, speculative. We've got all the visionaries we deal with. Somebody's got an idea. Somebody's got a song. This one's got a song. This one's got a message. And all of it is impractical. Kind of a scheme trying to get things going along. Oh, visionaries, not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about a vision. Something that breathes of the life of God. When Jesus walked through that wall, that closed door, and those disciples were sitting there, hovering in their fear, and, oh, what's going to become of us? It said the Lord stood there and He breathed on them. Amen, He's alive forevermore. He breathed on them. They're shivering and quivering and wondering what's going to become of things now. And the Lord just blew breath all on them. Amen. That wasn't enough to convince some of them. Come on and handle me, boys. Come on. Touch me good. Shake me around a little bit. I am alive. And I'm ready to go to work again. Amen. That little sleep was for a few nights, but I'm up now and I'll sleep no more. Go ye therefore into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. What an inspiration. Glory to God. I'm alive. Not hanging on that cross now. No need to look for me in the graveyard. No need to cry and moan. I am alive. Glory to God. Be a vision. A lot of folks still carrying flowers to the tomb. Amen. Oh, they put my Lord in here. And they put the little flowers out there and say a little prayer and sing a song, go home. But He told them, go tell my disciples and Peter, meet me in the city. I'm ready to go to work. The Lord's ready to go to work. How about you and I? Are we ready to work? Jesus wants some workers. All right, none of this visionary business. All right, now work. Turns our mind to the word task. A task. Now listen to this. The task gives birth to the vision. Think on it now. The task gives birth to the vision. Otherwise, we're going to come up with a visionary. We're going to come up with schemes and ideas and gimmicks. One place had one among the saints, thank God. The fellow was so desperate to get people to come to the meeting, he said he'd give them green stamps. Amen. I'll get them in there. We'll give them green stamps. Or we'll have a try to win an automobile? Right, we'll have a raffle, see? Visionary, folks. And that'll get a few folks for a while. And you just check that fellow who doesn't win the car and see if he comes back. He just came to see if he could win the car. He had no interest in the things of God. We need something fresh from God. That when it makes contact with me, oh Lord, what do you want? God needs to speak, and when you hear your name, you need to respond, glory to God. But I warn you today, don't turn towards something that's dead. Vision is wax dim. It'll do more to damage you and hinder you than anything I know. Amen. Well, I'll tell you to go back to bed. What you worrying about? Go on back and go to sleep. That's over your head. That's too deep for you. Oh, God. All right, now. As that scripture said, going to do something, make your ears tingle? Never heard it before. It's about time for it now. All right, now. The task gives birth to the vision. It is our perceptions of the task that determine the scope of our vision. All right, now you think about that a while. It's how we perceive God and our purpose and what God wants to how much of a scope we have. See? Now we just might see just maybe this. And you might be one that's saying, I'm just holding on. Oh, I want to make heaven. I'm just holding on. Come on now. I want to enlarge you tonight. You can do more than hold on. Why, bless God, you can be a fireball for God. It's more than just holding on. I'm just holding on. I know the Lord said, occupy till I come. But let's don't carry it to the extremes. Trying to nail everything down and patent everything and keep somebody from doing something else. Oh, listen, we better turn loose of God's property. Amen. contrary to popular belief, things won't go down. They'll get better. Amen. Contrary to popular belief. And I tell you, each of us have to struggle with this thing. We have to struggle whether it's time to turn loose or whether we should hold a little longer. God help us to know when to turn loose. All right. Now watch him here. It says, our perceptions of the task determine the scope of our vision. All right, somebody get the task for us. Mark 16, 9th verse. Let's hear what the task is. We get it all straight here now. We'll see what the task is, what the work is, what has to be done, what God has specifically left in our charge and care. And then we better get to work. Amen. All right, get it there. Help us out now. I'm not going to try to turn all these pages. All right, start at 9. See? Look where they start. Go ahead. Amen. Look at that. Isn't that something? Here comes someone saying, oh, the master's alive. Oh, it is our perception of the task that determines the scope of our vision. They couldn't get a hold of him being alive. He plainly told them, they're going to do this to the Son of Man, he's going to suffer this and that, and on the third day, I'll rise. Get up and I'll go. Read on. The Lord checking us out now. Coming in another form to see where you and I are. You know, you'd almost say, Lord, why'd you trick me like that? Why'd you come in another form? Amen. He's allowed to find some things when it comes in another form, is he not? Amen. Oh, the preacher raps on the door and you're not quite ready for it. See, the Lord came in another form and talked with some. They said, did not our hearts burn? The breath of inspiration, the breathing of God was upon them. Our hearts burned while he spoke with us in the way. When he revealed who he was, they prayed there and broke the bread. And they, gone now. Listen, folks, we're going to have to be ready. We're going to have to know with whom we have to do. Oh, God, help us now. Read some more. Okay. They didn't believe either.
Afterwards, he appeared unto the 11 and the Pharisees, that prayed to them with their unbelief and hardness of heart.
Unbelief and hardness of heart. Those two ingredients go side by side. Unbelief and hardness of heart. Because if it's merely a situation of I'm unable to take it in, surely, when they were told he's not in the tomb, well, that would have been sufficient, see? There's a living witness of the thing. But hardness of heart was there also. Hardness of heart. You see, we don't have to know everything, but God is faithful to send us the word on the thing. And when we get the word, then that's our knowledge. That's our enlightenment. I don't have to be there. I met some living witnesses one day, preaching the gospel, declaring that salvation was of the Lord, and I believed it, and he saved my soul. I wasn't there. And I received the testimony to the saving of my soul, to the delivering of my soul. But there's a hardness of heart. It goes right along with this unbelief. We're amongst a generation now whose hearts are hard to believe God. Read on. It's the task. See, this is the task. Can you see? This is the task. We're in Oklahoma City. He says, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. That will consume many lifetimes. Amen. But read on now. There's more. Fruit of the labor. Souls will be saved by the preaching of the gospel. Read on. There's the other witness. Those that reject and rebel and stiffen up, why you'll see them continue, wicked men And the deceivers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You'll see that. You'll see the effect of the gospel to those that harden up and stiffen up. They'll get worse and worse and worse. Read on now. Amen. God help us. That's what we're looking for. Keep on. Amen. See what I mean by a vision? A vision. A vision without a task. Simply a visionary. A scheme, some ideas, something to get things rolling. We want to stir up interest. There's been a falling off in attendance. Let's see, what can we do? Oh, we'll come up with some schemes. I had an interesting telephone call one day down at school. Telephone rang and some gentleman introduced himself. He said who he was and what he represented. He said, how would you like to make some extra money for your church? It's good as to say, I know you need it. I know things are at a low ebb. Amen, he says. I can guarantee you, Pastor, $500. And all you have to do is sponsor this carnival. So I started to hang up. Don't let me hear it out. Before I hang up. He went on, he said, now you see, we got this carnival and we don't need much space and I can come right out to your place and look it over and I'll guarantee you at least $500. You can get songbooks and pews, whatever you need. Just like he knew something. See? I know you're struggling. So I said, no, thank you. And he hung up. So I went to Sister Bonnie. I said, Sister Bonnie, guess what? I said, we can get some money. She said, oh, brother. I said, sponsor a carnival. She said, what? Sponsor a carnival. But here's the point. These are the kind of gimmicks and things that we'll be pulled to if we merely have a vision without a real task. Start having potluck dinners and whatever, lunchbox, pull the ticket and I eat lunch with you and you eat it with me, whoever gets, you know what I'm talking about. Everybody fixes a lunch and just pull numbers and whoever's number you get, you eat lunch with them. Now, you probably get big turnouts. But that's not what God is looking for, folks. Visionary. All right, let's go the other way around. Somebody said, work on, toil on. Till my work on earth is done. Oh, listen, how's that go? Work on, toil on. You know the song I'm thinking about. See? Well, you can get caught up in that idea of working and toiling, and a task without a vision is drudgery. I'm just laboring and toiling, and there's nothing in view, and I'm the only one, and all of these kind of things, that's drudgery. Oh, we need the breath of inspiration. A task with a vision. You see, it is the task that gives birth to the vision. What we have to do, and God is working with godly men and women, blessing their souls to see the plan of God and the mind of God for His work. Much being said now. This is the truth, folks. God is faithful to do it. Call little Samuel. Samuel. He didn't call Eli. He called Samuel. All right. We're looking at something here. They went forth. Preached everywhere and the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs. Following. God was in it. God was the author of it. God was backing it. The workings of God, the vision and the task together is what makes a missionary. It's what gives the missionary the going forth with the power and the unction of God on it. That's the way that works. A task. What is a task? We may look on task. Let's look at it here. Task is a piece of work assigned to or demanded of someone. as by another person. By duty, usually it implies that it is difficult, very difficult or arduous work, a task. You find people shrinking away when you speak in terms of a task. But there's a task before us, praise the Lord. And it breaks on down into some real interesting study, some vital study as we looked into this. All right, now, breaking down this word task, you come up with some other words. You get chores, see? Well, chores come to be your routine, domestic duties, sweep the floor and the dishes and that kind of thing. And now with this task, there's also the a shade of it, a view of it, where it talks about a stint. It says one's share of work done by a group, a minimum to be completed in an allotted time. Oh, it breaks down that we have a share, a portion. This go ye into all the world and preach the gospel will not be done by everyone. But we have a share in that. We have a part in that by the help of God. And then the Lord breaks it on down to specific assignments. See? So assigning a specific prescribed task allotted by someone in authority. An assignment. See? Glory be to God. And then it breaks on down to a job. I hope you're getting a hold of some of these things here. A job. I long to see the people of God find out where they fit in the scheme of God's economy. Where you fit in this thing. Where's your part in this? Praise the Lord. A job now. A specific piece of work. Amen. As in a trade. The work that one would do. All right, I'm thinking tonight about a task force. A task force. God's task force. These are specifically trained, self-contained, military-type units assigned for a specific mission or task, such as raiding of the enemy shore installation. Hey, man, a task force designed to give the devil all the trouble he can handle. We need an inspiration on our part and realize that God has a company. Their whole purpose of existing is to make the devil's business bad. All right, it's Bible, folks. I'm giving you Bible. Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. Who are you? They were not a part of the task force that could make the devil whine and beg for mercy. God has a task force whose job it is to discomfort and upset Satan's plan. And he sends them all around everywhere. And if we'll pray and ask God to help us and teach us how to support those that are laboring in the field for God, the devil's work will be spoiled more. Spoil his work. Spoil his plan. Remember when Jesus came on the scene and that man was so possessed, the demon said, "What do we have to do with you, Jesus, Most High?" He had nothing to do with him. But the Lord came on and spoiled things. And old Simon, the sorcerer, who had the folks bewitched, who had them thinking he was a great power of God, when the real saints of God came on the scene, they spoiled that. God has a task force. Just upset the devil on every side. The devil set in to put slow death on a congregation. God will send and call for his task force. Listen to what this definition says. It's self-contained. They're not looking for a lot of outside support because what they got from God. A vision, a breath, something from God. You can't get a lot of support for that. It's self-contained. Amen. It's a special, trained military unit assigned a specific mission or task, such as raiding of the enemy's shore installations. Just bomb him as often as it will. Just tear up some of his things. When he thinks he's going to bind some souls, here comes the task force. Amen. You know, I was privileged to watch some fellas in the task force. They call them the Green Berets. Amen. They had little green-looking hats pulled down on one side. And one thing I noticed about them, they never talked. You couldn't get a Green Beret to talk to you. They hardly spoke. But what they had to contend with, you see, it took, right, just my view of it, it just took all that they had to be that. It wasn't out socializing and visiting. This was a special force that had a real vision of some things. And they'd spoil the enemy, run right into his camp and rescue folks. Amen. Bring them out. Next day you'd hear where the raided enemy camp and got two of our guys out. We didn't lose anyone. Amen. Vision. The working of God, the unlimited power of God. How we need a vision. Something fresh, something to inspire the congregations. Oh, listen, nothing puts fuel in our tank but to get word that the word of God is being received over here. Doesn't it? Doesn't it bless your soul? Doesn't it bless you when the phone rings and say, oh, just send us up another 1,000 tracts, whatever you got ready. We are running out. Oh, we're bombing the enemy. We're really kicking him around up here. You just about hear the bombs bursting and see the flashes. Special task force. Now, I happen to believe the whole church is that. I happen to believe the whole church is a task force. I don't want you to sit here tonight and rock back and say, oh, there are some people like that. God wants you. God wants you. Now, remember what I said to you earlier? That young man looks at that sleek jet fighter and says, oh, just for a chance to fly. And that old fellow looks at him and says, I might kill myself. God help us. The Lord can move a lot faster and a lot swifter. We're able to give him credit for it. But who will go for Jesus? Who stands? Who will get the kind of experience that God can bless? Oh, I want to move on, but there's just so much here, and I confess to you I am unable to unfold it like it's burning in my soul. A vision, something fresh. Met a little band of folks. They came to our meeting, and the Lord seemed to be blessing, and they seemed to have been blessed by their testimonies. And here's a little group of folks who are trying to take a stand for following the word of God, trying to take a stand on divine healing and wanting to know more about what we are believing and where we come from. You talk about fueling up some fire. Here's somebody that wants something that's new and fresh and something we can really get a big bite into. Saints, that's our sickle. Amen. That's our let's go and get them for God. Don't allow the enemy to pull them off on the side somewhere and pollute them up with wrong things. Let's move out. You know that'll do more for your soul than attending prayer meeting every Wednesday night faithfully. It will. That'll do more for your soul. Just allowing God to use you as a channel, as a blessing, as one of his task force people. That'll do more for your experience. That'll give you some overnight growth. Amen. Some overnight growth will take place. You'll say, well, look at this. These pants don't fit me anymore. Amen. Growing up in God now. Moving on in the Lord. Sharing the good news. He is alive. Oh, you know we can have this precious truth and sit down on it. And I know he's alive. That's right. And we sure, oh well. I will move on. Time is always battling us in these meetings. Ask the Lord, I don't want to hold the folks so long. We hold long at home. All right now. So I was real task for me. Trying to tailor all this up right neat and finish quick. All right, now watch. Let's look over here and let's follow this vision. Joel 2. Let's see how it works. 1 and 2, you can help us some. Verse 1 and 2, we kind of tried to split it out so we wouldn't have so much reading. But we need to know there's biblical foundation for what I'm talking about. This is not a visionary that I'm speaking about. All right, now, vision, it's God breathed it. It's to put the zip, the fire, right back where it ought to be. We're among the saints. When we give the devil a ring and a run, that does more for your soul than anything else. To see the devil whimpering and a crying and a running and the saints saying, lay it on him! Don't have no mercy on no devil. Let's move on for God. All right now, somebody got it? Joel 2, 1 and 2. Start reading. And we're doing our best tonight. Blow the horn in Zion. That's the place to hear this kind of music. No need in thinking you can preach like this everywhere you go. You cannot. But blow it in Zion. Now read. Alarm. You hear the alarm? Do you hear the urgency of a fresh newness? The precious truth we've always loved. The poet said, then with him in glory we'll sing the new song. But 'twill be the old story that we have loved so long. Listen, it may seem like something new, but it's the same old story applied. Jesus saved. He sanctified. He heals. Same old story, only it's applied. Glory be to God. I don't have anything new to preach. Read on now. Tremble now. Now.
They shall run like mighty men.
See?
They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one in his ways, and they shall not break their ranks.
Hold it right there. They shall not break their ranks. There's nothing more splendid than an army marching in ranks. Sized off and stepping tall. Why, you get the impression that they could march through anything. Amen. Do you know that during the rise of the German army, apart, and I'm not thinking in terms of just a psyching up, but they would march through the square and stand in display and strut and march, and that did something to build and bolster them in a way that they actually believed they were invincible. Amen. Superman, you're special. They'll just lay down when you walk by. And a lot of folks did. Oh, they're coming this way, just lay over. But the Lord said, that's what had happened. When my people, my army, is marching in ranks, the enemy will lay down. Will lay down. God help us. They won't break rank. Breaking rank is a sign of weakness. It's a sign of weakness. It is weakness to break rank. When the commander says forward march and the march is proceeding this direction, it's weakness to break rank and try to go another way. It's utter failure to fall out of the rank and go a different direction. Hear the voice of our commander standing firm. Commander's calling his army to march, and I've never heard a command backwards march. Been in the military, I've heard commands I've never heard backwards. Oh, never heard it. It's forward march. But what about that little fence in the way? Forward march. Amen. Glory to God. The army's moving now. Everything better get out of the way. We're not breaking ranks this time. We're not going to break ranks. All right now. Let's go to the 10th verse.
The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. The stars shall withdraw their shadows.
Oh, what a terrible, powerful, awesome force for God. We know him.
And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army.
Sure.
For his hand is very great.
Thank God.
For he is strong and executed his word.
He's strong.
For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it?
Keep reading.
Therefore also
now listen. Lord, listen.
Turn ye even to me with all your heart.
Turn with all your heart. With fasting, weeping, mourning. Now, rend your heart. Rend your heart. Rend your heart and not your garments. The Lord wants every available man marching forward. The Lord's not willing to leave you on the side. But here is a call to repentance. A rending of the heart and not the garment. A weeping, a mourning, a fasting. Oh God, remember, it is our perception of the task which determines the scope of our vision. Amen. Is this really what God is wanting? I don't see why you've got to have all this. Oh, how we need to be enlarged. Our hearts enlarged. Right down in the end of time, right down in the dark hour of this world, this is our time to shine for God. Shine. Shine out the Zion of the perfection of beauty. God has shined. All right, let's move over just a little now. Go up to around the 28th verse. Is that the end of that thought? Let's just move on now, trying to redeem a little time. 28th verse. A little more of that thought we want
to
get.
It shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out.
After you repent and turn with fasting and tears and mournings, and after that, now I'm going to pour out my spirit. See, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to draw you to myself. I'm going to breathe on you and open you up. Read on.
You and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions.
You know what the time said there was no open vision? There's been a long time. For anything of real inspiration, something really refreshing and the working of God, it had been a long spell when God called out Samuel. It had been a long spell calling out Samuel. Listen, God help us tonight. You hear the Lord speaking to you? We've been talking in this meeting. Everywhere that I've been able to touch, I am experiencing and in my soul, to a certain degree, a hunger for true possession. A hungering for true possession. This doesn't mean you backslide, you backslidden and lost out with God, but God help us. There's a void, there's something here that God wants to unleash. Something God wants to do, and He's going to do it with or without us. Amen. Gonna do it with or without us. Oh, I like that thought about breaking, not break ranks. All right, there's another scripture you want to go to now. Young men are gonna see visions, and that's a promise of that refreshing to stay in our midst. We don't want to crystallize and become in a little mold, a little shell where God can't breathe, all stuffy and all the curtains all drawn down tight. I was in a place. We were going to hold meeting. We were called to run meeting for a few days, nights. We got there, and this dear one went to covering up the windows and pulled the doors all shut. And I said, "What are you doing that for?" He says, "Somebody might see us." I said, "Good. That's what we're here for. We want somebody to see this. Why, we don't want to pull the shades down and shut up the doors and get the air conditioner up real loud and just pacify our little selves. I want somebody to hear this." The poet said, "Waft it on. Breathe. Jesus saves. Jesus saves." I want that to be spread abroad. I don't want us to get to a point where, well, this all the little folks God got. Now, I made a statement like that. And this is what I want. I want to bring that thing as clear as I can. The saved throughout the earth is all we got. It's all we got. See? Don't expect the world to get kind and cuddle up close to us and understand our particular plight. They'll help stamp you down. Good riddance. We better draw close to one another and amen, whatever it takes for us to stop bumping and pumping into one another and snubbing one another and standing off from one another, we better get out of that.
Better get out of it. Better let it go. Get what we need from God. Get some real grace and help. Get a breath of a vision. Inspiration. Get at a stalemate and everything gets stale. Two folks aren't speaking, the whole congregation gets stale. Amen. Just as stale, scared to sing, scared to greet somebody, scared who'll see it and tell it. We better get out of that mess. That's what it is mess. Better get out of it. Let God bless His children everywhere. Let God bless the camp everywhere. I'm going to tell you something now. Folks have been kind of following me along through the years. Don't make no mistake here. I'm not for shabby living. I'm not for a shoddy experience. I want God to bless you, but I want you to be holiness too. I want to feel free to come around you and you around me because we have the same spirit. Feel free to be in your midst, glory to God. Free to embrace you. The only thing that hinders that up is these foreign spirits. I declare it makes it rough. Hello, brother. His old toad frog spirit. I can't cuddle up to that. That thing frightens me. Old frog, unclean spirit. Giving vent to uncleanness and lies. I can't get close to that. Oh, if it's the breathings of God and your hungering and desire for God is not abated since our departure, then I love you more. I love you more. Glory be to God. So I'm still standing on the promises. Praise the Lord. Oh, I love you more for that. Our absence draws us closer. How have you been doing? Pressing on the upward way. Amen. That's how I've been doing. That's how I've been doing, see? Ought to just be something fresh every time we meet. Something fresh and alive. I believe this. Not the same old thing. We still have civil war, religiously speaking. See? And they shot a few volleys the other day. And we fired a couple back. We really got them. Each other, mind you. The devil doesn't even have to enter in. He sits back and says they'll kill each other. That's Bible. You bite and devour. You'll be consumed one of another. The only thing that can defeat God's people right here, God's people. The devil can't stop the church of God. Amen. Moses, I'll destroy all of these and raise up some just like you. God will raise him up some people. Folks, we can't put him in a little bottle and uncap him when we want a special good time. But we'd love to do that. We'd love to think we got him in a little bottle. And after a while, lo and behold, fire going to come breathing out from somewhere. We're going to wonder what that is. Amen. Smoke and fire and rejoicing. Amen. And some that's old enough to know will say, that's God. That's God over there. Y'all can say what you want, but that's God. That's Him. I know that's the way it works. You're sitting here wondering how that could be. We're the saints. How could they be rejoicing so? Inspiration. Breath of God, a desire to be clean and open to Him to work. God won't work with unclean, dirty, filthiness. He won't work with that. Don't fool yourself tonight to think that somehow this message is going to just make all the dirty things clean. No, we're going to have to clean them up. We'll have to clean them up among ourselves. We'll have to start meeting with one another and cleaning things up. Tonight won't make it all right. This could be a good starting place. But this won't make it all right. Oh, go home feeling good. That was quite a message. Now let's clean things up so that God can work as He will with His people. What a glorious army marching in ranks now. No one breaking rank. It's divine healing. It's divine healing all the way. Not drinking coffee? No, drink it all the way. Stop breaking ranks. Get the army to marching in one direction and two or three decide they're going to march another way. All right now. That's not good. It's wrong. God won't bless that. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Maybe you figured it out by now, but I don't like being the tail. I don't like being the tail of nothing. I don't like that spot. You get everything that everybody else is kicking back. You the tail, see? You the tail in, and you know, just I don't like following behind somebody in my car like that. They just kick up road film all over your windshield, and if sometimes I've gotten behind some, they're blowing out some of the most awful pollution. And I've got a ride in that. Well, I'm the tail, see? Some folks have gotten accustomed to being tail in everything. Well, I don't like that. God doesn't like it. God promised to make you the head and not the tail. I've no business breathing old used up air and used up fumes. We sing a song about the air being pure. Pure. Laden with the breath of flowers. Never been used before. Every breath is brand new and it freshens my inner being. Glory be to God. Fresh air. What it does for you. Just a good gulp of it. Probably the first thing it does is make you dizzy. Pure oxygen. The first thing it'll probably do is make you sick. And that's a testimony of what kind of stuff you've been breathing. Said, well, I don't like this pure stuff. I was dizzy for 2 days. Your system can't stand it. But this is the stuff God's people thrive on. Pure air. Pure gospel. Clean living. Instead of getting dizzy and drunk and passing out, evermore give us this bread. Got any more? Amen. Oh, I pray God tonight that our perception of the task will be increased. Our perception of the task. This is for the whole world. Go into all the world. You know, I was touched in my heart as I thought of that young missionary. South America there. The young man is a translator. I thought how he gave his life. And his testimony was that he was determined to see that those people in those jungle woods had the gospel in their language. And I thought, oh, God, help me now. He paid with his life. Now, they could have recanted and backed off and changed. And I don't know what he was living, but this is what touched me about it. A vision for those people back in the backwoods to be able to pick up the gospel and read it and get salvation. Glory be to God. That's what touched my heart. Now you can sit back and say, well, this, well, that. But you check yours. Amen. You check yours. God bless you. I don't want to be the tail, but the head. There's scripture on that. Let's look at that. Oh, time doesn't work with us. Deuteronomy 28. Let's touch this. Oh, we're thinking tonight, God got men of war that know how to keep rank. Amen. He's got men that have an understanding of the times, what we ought to do. We better start listening. We better start listening. Deuteronomy 28 and 10. Now? Look at it now. Now watch.
And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail.
The head and not the tail. Praise God. Got something to give. You can lend and you won't have to borrow. Now that's typical of the people of God. Got plenty to give out. Plenty, plenty, plenty. But in this same reading it goes on and says, but if you won't follow along in the plan that God has, and he'll begin to bestow his curses. Oh, there's so much here. We never get into it tonight. I'll make you the head and not the tail. Read on. Above only. You'll not be beneath. If you'll hearken, if you'll receive the commandments of the Lord. On up in the 16th verse, tells us there that about the curses. But it shall come to pass, 15, read a little of that. We won't get too much of it. Yes. If you will not. See. Now listen, you read this and study it, and you may get some insight on some of the trouble in the land. You won't hearken to my commandments, then these curses are going to come on you. These curses will come on you. And when God puts a curse on folks, it's on until he lifts it. Read the first one.
Cursed shalt thou be in the city.
In the city.
Cursed shalt thou be in the field.
Oh, Lord.
Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store.
You talking about poverty in a meeting? Poverty in the gathering of the saints? Here it is. Here it is, folks. If you won't hearken to my commandments, I'll curse your assemblies. I won't smell. I won't visit. You get God on strike and you got a serious problem. You can come up with any program you can think of, but if God is striking your meeting, so to speak, we're in trouble. Oh, we can get the most eloquent, the most qualified, the biggest name going, the crowd drawers, and there'll be no deliverance in it. It'll be just some little setting we're having, some kind of, I don't know what to call it, fake edification of ourselves. Oh, wasn't that? Yes, thank you. Wasn't that a lovely meeting? But how many got saved? How many got edified? How many were healed? These are vital questions. Otherwise, why are we meeting? Visionary? God help us. I don't believe in throwing God's money away. And yet I know we can't buy these things. The point I'm trying to illustrate is, all the effort and the labor and the prayers and the sacrifices that are made, I'm not willing for it to be for nothing. I'm not willing for that. The Lord placed a burden on my heart to come this way. Listen, I've got plenty of things to do. I'm not begging for some slots to come and preach the gospel. My hands are full. More than I can handle. Lord, burden my heart to come here. Talk to the saints of God. Let's get in rank. Glory be to God. If down on the little southern tip, if we can hold rank and march straight, praise God, that ought to encourage you. And I get the word, you marching straight, that'll encourage me. Somebody else will get the word, praise God, these brothers are holding this thing right on the line, and they'll be encouraged. That's what we need. We need this. God wants us to have it. It's ours by birth. Are you getting the thought? I'll make you the head and not the tail. Aren't you tired of being tail end, Charlie? Last at everything that happened. God help us. God at the reach way out over in sectism somewhere and bless somebody who's bold enough to stand on a promise. You the tail end for sure then. You tail end for sure. You ever heard a message being proclaimed that you said, well, the saints ought to be saying that? You ever heard that? Saints ought to be saying that. That's saint stuff. And many times those that are handling it are very ill-equipped to do much with it, but by a little spark of inspiration, they got a hold of it for just a fleeting second. And it takes some vision to even identify that that's God's. It takes some depth to realize that you can't box up the Holy Ghost. It takes some depth, some humility to admit that God will work with ready vessels anywhere. It takes some humility to get there. God would rather work with us. Amen. He'd rather. Look at all the investment he's got in this. He's not willing to just chuck it, but he'll, as it were, you know, push it aside. But he will. We won't hearken to his commandments. God will push every bit of it aside and raise up from the stones what we consider rude and crude and uncouth. God will set it on fire with the Holy Ghost. And we'll have to look at it. These are ignorant and unlearned men. But they took note. They had been with Jesus. And that's what counts. Folks, that's what counts. They've been with Jesus. They can't read well, they don't write too good. But glory be to God, do they get results? Do they get results? That's what we've got to have is results. We can't afford actually another meeting without Holy Ghost results. We can't afford it. Do you feel what I'm feeling? Do you sense what I'm... We can't afford it. We can't afford to have the brethren laboring over the miles to shake their head and say, well, maybe next year. We can't afford that. Why I need to get so blessed in this meeting that when I get back home, my face is all lit up and that flock go to looking. I need something in this meeting. You see, we need God to bless our souls unlimited. Or I reach a point where I'm at my wit's end, so to speak, and if God doesn't inspire and breathe on my soul, what will I give to God's flock? Some old hashed up, warmed over meal. They know when it's warmed over. And out of respect, they'll just go along with you. But if you really get them to tell the truth, they'll say, dead. Ugh. Amen. Dead. You know that's what happened to those Pharisees? Jesus told them too. He says, outwardly you appear to be right, but inside you're full. You're full of dead men's bones. Outwardly you look good, but inside you got this big list, this great genealogy of your pedigree. Folks, we need something living. Something fresh for today, and I'm not against the old patriarch brethren, I love them. And I want to clear this up right here. I'm not saying away with the elder brethren. We don't have enough elder brethren now. I'm saying those whose visions are dim can't help us now. That's what I'm saying, and I want it clear. I'm not saying away with them. God forbid I need all the help I can get. You brethren got some help for me. Just you don't have to ease up to me. You can just walk right straight up and say, brother, I want to talk to you. I'll take it. I receive it. I want it. I have a vision of all that God would have us to have. I'm not willing to be stifled in this. I'm not willing. David, I'm trying to stop. I'm not through. David had a host of men to come down and they were going to make him the king. They saw something. They saw it. Jonathan saw it. Right off, he looked on him and said, you're going to be the king. And I'm going to be right next to you. Listen, folks, we need a vision like that. I like the way the Holy Ghost is moving and working here, and I'm going to be right in it. See? I'm going to be right in it. I believe it. They came down to make David the king. These were men of war. And they gave themselves to those that had the understanding. You study that out in Chronicles. Maybe we'll get to that, Lord willing. But it said these men were able to keep rank. I'm going to tell you one of the lacks today is this inconsistency throughout the camp. Not keeping rank. It shouldn't be that kind of variation from congregation to congregation. We've got to get in rank. Well, I don't like the way you put it down. I'm going over here. I have to listen to what you're saying. If I got somebody to put it right where I like it. Let's get in rank. Amen. If you can't handle it down south, no need in trying to go north. Amen. Let's get in rank, brother preachers. You not making it with your local pastor, don't try to get cozy with me. I don't have any room for you, see. You go back and get it right. Then you're welcome to come here if the Lord says so. Amen. It's too much moving and shuffling around, saints. We haven't proved at home what God would have us to prove. But we just get upset about it and move. It's time to just nail right down and let God bring the goods out of your life. At home first. Everybody moving and rustling. I'm going to move and I'm going here. And carry all your stuff with your dirty linen and everything. If your person is moving, they ought to move free and clear. Don't carry nothing. Just a saint coming to get the soul blessed and fed. Usually when they move, they bring all kind of dirty linen. Amen. Get a vision of something fresh, a cleanness, a purity. Simply back to God. A simply returning to a genuine brotherly love. Forgiving from the depths. A recognizing failures and shortcomings and getting this thing in before God where we can overcome it completely. We don't have much time. We don't have much time to turn things around. God's going to have a holy people that we can be a part of. Where there's no vision, the people will perish. They'll dry up. They'll cease to be. Amen. Oh, listen, we can still go through the motion of our meetings. But how many of those meetings has God really blessed? Really, truly blessed. Now, let's not fool each other. You know, when something's off, the first thing I do is say, oh, God, help me. Something was wrong with that. Will you help me? Will you help me to know what was wrong? I didn't experience your presence and your love upon me. What did I get off? What was wrong? Are you that hungry? Are you that earnest? Lord, I'm not willing to put up a front, a sham. When you're offering us the reality, pray for us. Pray for yourself. God will help us.